Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 30th on the West Coast, or if you're in the Eastern or Central time zones, it's March the 31st, and it seems a bit strange starting the week off on a Tuesday. Anyway, but if you're on the West Coast, it's still Monday, so don't feel bad. Lots going on in the world, more insanity, banks being bailed out left and right, insurance companies being bailed out left and right, banks buying banks, people stealing trillions of dollars and lying about it through their teeth. Need I say more? Trillions is now a word being used by the mainstream media, which is mind-blowing, since we've been talking about that issue specifically for going on 2 years on this show, and certainly for 3 years in writing and on various interviews on many, many radio shows around the world, actually. And still, the average American has no idea what's going on whatsoever. People are so enthralled with professional sports, whether it's hockey or basketball or baseball or football. They have a name for college basketball, and they like to give it names like NCAA tournament, and then they narrow it down to the Sweet Six. We got some noise in the background here. I don't know if that's my guest or what. Okay. Sweet 16, then they have the Elite Eight and the Final Four and then the National Championship. And it just, it's ridiculous. They've turned it into just another way of diverting attention. Then you've got professional sports. You've got baseball coming around now. They've got everybody's attention on that. People are living in tents in the Sacramento, California area. People around the country are losing their homes, have no place to live, nothing to eat. And they've got everyone else focused on sports. And, oh, yeah, I'm worried about my stocks. The stock market's going up now. You know, I'm going to make a killing again because I got in while the getting was good. Meanwhile, they go on creating laws that are designed to take all of your rights away, including your freedom of speech, and people don't care. They really don't care. And I question, really, why those people are even on the planet. I mean, they came here to watch baseball and basketball and football and hockey, and that's all life is about. Oh, they work hard. Yeah, they're working. They're paying their taxes. They're making their mortgage payments. And still, people are losing their homes. No one questions that. People are being poisoned left and right. No one questions that. You've got foreign countries raiding our borders with drugs. You've got women and children being raped, sodomized, brought into these pedophile clubs that they have in Washington, D.C., sold as slaves around the world, and nobody seems to care about this, except the victims to whom it happens. You've got people walking into banks and post offices and restaurants and schools, shooting up people they don't even know, and no one's questioning what the hell's going on. Well, I'm fed up with it, and I hope some in my listening audience are, yet I don't really expect people to do anything about it other than to listen to me talk about it or listen to others like me talk about it. Nobody seems to really care. It's beyond me. It really is. And I'm not discouraged. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I feel that that's what I'm supposed to do. And tonight's guest is kind of doing the same thing and has been for a number of years, and he probably feels the same way. This man has a website called educate-yourself.org that publishes a lot of what I'm talking about and has been doing it for years. And he brings the truth to many, many people around the world. He's got one of the most popular websites in the world. He's a journalist. He's a researcher, a metaphysician, and my good friend, Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. Great to be on with you again.
Well, I started the show with a little bit of a rant, but basically it's not even a rant. I'm just describing what I'm noticing as I'm traveling around, just taking care of daily business. People are just, they're not with it. They're really not with it. I wonder what people really think their life is about at this stage.
Well, we can talk about that tonight, but I might say that it was a good overview, a good recapitulation, as we say in the music business, of the essence of the dilemma that we find ourselves in today. It's good to hear a review. It's very good, even for people who are familiar with the agenda. It's good to hear a review. It kind of crystallizes it in, and for those who are, let's say, awakening or have been awakening to the reality of the New World Order destruction takeover of America that's in progress, it firms up the reality of what's going down. So I think it's excellent. It's in fact, I was reading material today that caused me to think that in the statements I made in front of an article, in introductory remarks, editor's notes, I typically have comments there. I need to remind people who read my stuff of certain themes, such as what you just reviewed there, rather than just assume that all readers are up to speed with the circumstances of the takeover. There's continually new people that come to your site who just read it for the first time. One has to remind yourself of that there's always new people coming on board who aren't in the same at the same level of understanding that, let's say, someone who's been familiar with this, with the agenda for, you know, years. So you have to remember that there's always new people coming on board, and for them, it's a big load to take on the first time. It's overwhelming. It certainly was with me. I mentioned to you that I come to realize the reality of the New World Order. I guess it was between the years 1994 and 95. Because of books, William Cooper's book was the first one that really opened my eyes to the whole game. Prior to that, I really didn't understand the depth of the manipulation that goes on behind the scenes and the darkness of the agenda of the manipulators. So that was, and then in the same year, I think, again, this is late 94, early 95, I read Kathy O'Brien's book, Transformation of America, which was co-wrote with Mark Phillips. That opened my eyes to the whole world of the satanic infiltration into this country and how serious it is, and mind control. You know, I didn't know about these things, and it was a lot, all in the same year. And then the same year, I stumbled on, I guess it was 95, I stumbled onto the website Zeta Talk, which just came online that year. In fact, it came online, I think it was in perhaps October of 95. And I happened to be listening to the Art Bell Show routinely at that point. We came to California in late 93. And, you know, I wasn't familiar with the TV or the radio stations, but I would go for, you know, take a walk at night to get some exercise. And I bought a little AM, FM radio just to buzz around the dial, see what was there for talk radio. And I stumbled upon Art Bell, and I found it interesting, fascinating. So I started to make a habit of listening to it, particularly when I went on walks. I might walk for, well, anywhere from 1 to 2 hours. It was typically in the evening. I preferred to walk then, you know, less traffic, and it's, everything's quieter, and et cetera. So that's when our Bell was doing a show. So I started to listen to him, and, you know, you hear all kinds of paranormal-related stuff, alien-related stuff, you know, doom and gloom-related stuff, remote viewing, et cetera, all fascinating topics. So all this happened about the same time, within the same frame of a year or so. I'm stumbling upon a lot of things that I never heard about before, early in my life. So I do remember how it was rather overwhelming for me, and particularly the Zeta Talk website seemed very convincing, and there was a lot of data there, and I became really almost an avid fan of Zeta Talk. I very carefully studied all the files, and there was thousands of pages of information posted there, and I would download it and take these files and put them in three ring binders that were, you know, the very widest ones, you know, 2.5-3-inch spines on them. I would start collating this information, this data. I must have had, who knows, 4, 5, 6, these 3-inch binders with just Zeta Talk. It took me months and months and months of get through all that. I would read 2, 3, 4 hours a day. It's a lot of reading. But I came away with, oh my God, type of impression, because at the time, and I thought it was all on the level, and I expected this major earth changes to take place in early summer of 2003, and frankly, I thought it was all over. I expected a very grim scenario to follow, kind of Mad Max type survival thing. And
yeah, we had a war in Iraq in 2003. You know, we invaded Iraq, and that started it.
That's
we discussed all that on a couple of other shows, actually.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I did. Excuse me if I'm just going overgrown, but I just wanted to emphasize the idea that it's overwhelming when you first come upon it. And so there's essentially two stages you go through. First, becoming acclimated to the information is not easy, because we're being conditioned from childhood forward to believe a set of postulates that are largely untrue. But, you know, you don't know that. You're taught it from every venue of society. You're taught it by parents who, you know, pass along information unwittingly, thinking it's true. But you certainly get it from the school systems. So everyone in authority, particularly as you go up in schools, the history books, the science books, they reinforce this picture, the history books particularly, reinforce this picture that we all assumed was accurate. You know, one, the United States is the greatest, you know, country in the world, the greatest bastion of freedom, liberty, freedom of expression, individual rights, blah, blah, blah. That B, the United States as a nation are the good guys of the world, and we've always have been, don't you know? We had our own internal, squabbles in the Civil War, but thanks to, you know, the guidance of Abe Lincoln and the notion that we're, you know, we're going to be one union held together and blah, blah, blah. We got through that. So from that point forward, every war that we've engaged with, of course, beginning with the Revolutionary War, was the just and righteous war in which the ones who we ultimately come to do battle with were, of course, the bad guys. And what were we doing? We were just trying to defend ourselves or defend other innocent victims. So this is how we went into, you know, the Spanish-American War, these evil Spanish, so-and-sos blew up our ship, the battleship Maine in the Havana Harbor. So we had to kick some butt there and show them who the heck was in charge. And, well, because they controlled the Philippines, well, just deserts of war, you know, we got the Philippines from Spain and then move it up to World War One. Well, we had to go over there. I mean, my God, the Kaiser's troops were bayoneting babies as they were going through Belgium. We couldn't have that. And, of course, we had to help the French and the British, our good allies, blah, blah. We couldn't let the Hun overrun, you know, another plunge Europe into another dark age. So it was our duty to help our, you know, stop the Hun dog from over. So that's why we did that. And, of course, when we sent those expeditionary troops into Russia in 1917, that wasn't for any other reason other than to defend freedom and help, you know, people who were being besieged by, you know, this Bolshevik revolution stuff. And, of course, we were there for the highest goals. And everyone knows World War II was, you know, wasn't our idea. Hell, that was...
That was the war to end all wars, wasn't it? 5 years before the Korean War. You know,
so every war we've ever been involved with, we're the good guys, don't you know? We're just trying to defend the liberty, people's democracy. This is what we've been doing. And, of course, you know, we sent the Marines in Lebanon in 1958. We did that for all the right reasons. And the Dominican Republic, somewhere, I don't know, early 60s, 61, 62, Haiti, they sent the Marines in there. And then we sent advisors in the South Vietnam trying to prevent this damn domino of Asia by the communists, like wildfire, and they already had North Vietnam, so we didn't have advisors in there to help, or for that matter, even after World War II, the Chinese. I mean, we were helping the right side. Who was the good guy when it came to the China, Mao and Chiang Kai-shek? Of course, Chiang Kai-shek was the good guy there, and so that's why we were trying to help him against that god-awful communist Mao. So that's why we gave him all kinds of money and, you know, helped him with fighters and so forth to try to hold on to China and then into the Korean War. Again, it was just a police action. After all, we were just trying to defend the South Koreans against the North Korean invasion. We were just good guys there. And in Vietnam, we were just good guys. We were trying to hold on, you know. This is the story that is continually painted right up to the present day. The reason we went into Afghanistan, because the Afghanis were harboring Osama bin Laden, and he plotted 9/11. He brought down those three buildings, including Building 7. He's responsible for all that from a cave in Afghanistan. So we had to kick their ass, of course. And then Bush said he had indisputable proof that there was weapons of mass destruction. Oh, my God, you name it. Nukes, you name it. Saddam had it. Saddam was a big player in 9/11. I mean, that's what he said. So we had to kick their ass and, you know, wipe out 1 million Iraqi citizens in the process, because we're the good guys of the world. We do things for all the right reasons.
Especially robbing the banks of the world. And is it any surprise that we're in the financial condition we're in today because they're robbing our banks as well? Only they're not firing shots, at least at the masses. They're taking pot shots at individuals.
I'm engaging in this in irony or in a spoof.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my teleprompter to flip over to the next page. I don't know how yours is working.
Well, I wanted to use
a bit of sarcasm
as a way to drive home the fact that this entire nation, the American people, are the most deceived people on the face of the planet. Generally, as a rule, in Europe and even in Asia, the citizens of those countries are more aware of the chicanery, the deceit, the criminal activity of the American government than its own people are, because we are surely the most dumbed-down nation on the face of the earth. And this is all the more a crime because we have the greatest advantage, traditionally. After all, we won World War II. We were as a result of that winning, we had the greatest, you know, expansion of wealth in any country. And had we not had a steady infiltration of Kabbalist infiltrators intent on destroying the nation, gradually and continuously insinuating themselves into government, into the judicial system, into law enforcement, into every controlling or, you know, powerful entity that affects, you know, the public welfare, the safety, et cetera, the military. If we hadn't had that infiltration occur, we probably would be the most robust and, you know, largely happiest nation on the earth. Because we certainly had all the elements here to have a thousand-year history of unbroken bounty, goodwill towards men, growth. And had that happened, we are taking a liberty, which was, you know, so bright at the end of the 19th century for the rest of the world, would have shined its rays. And we could have easily, had we had the men we needed and desperately need now in charge of government, military, the judicial, rather than these infiltrators, these fifth columnists, these Satanists, these Freemasons, these White Brotherhood boys, these Illuminati, these Zionists.
Knights of Malta.
Yes, these Nazis left over from World War II that have so thoroughly infiltrated the American government. Had we not had that crowd take control, we would be having a different show today, Don. We'd be, we'd certainly be accustomed to free energy for at least 100 years, because Tesla had discovered everything necessary at the end of the 19th century, or the last quarter of the 19th century. In fact, by 1888, he discovered radiant energy, and we could have had continuous, no-cost electricity. We could have had no-cost communications to anyone in the world. I mean, we could have had a very blissful planet here for the last 100 years instead of the instead of the difficulties that's facing us now because of the people in charge. And this is what you were getting to in your initial presentation at the beginning of the show. It's normal to become frustrated when you can clearly see, once you're aware of the agenda, you can see the script. They follow it exactly. There's no deviations from it. And you ask yourself, why, Jim Murray mentioned last Friday in your interview with him, here we are, a couple of sheep talking to each other as we're winding our way towards the slaughterhouse, and Jim says, one sheep says to the other, hey, isn't that the slaughterhouse down there? Why are we, you know, why are we allowing ourselves to move in that direction? And the other sheep says, well, because the shepherd is leading us there. And he summarized the problem right there. And you alluded to it, too. The people in this country, if you're going to save the country for your kids so that they can live in a democracy, at the very least, should be a republic, but I'll take a democracy, but a true democracy, not just one in name that's actually a totalitarian police state. If you want to live in the real democracy that, you know, that I lived in, that you were raised in, etc., it's time to realize that the government isn't going to save you because the government is doing it to you. The military, although surely there are elements within the military who, when it comes down to rounding up and shooting, you know, their own neighbors, probably won't do that, but I do not expect a wholesale rebellion from military people to throw over the New World Order. That's not going to happen. Why? It never has happened in history. What happens is when, you know, I'm sure the men of Germany who were, when times get tough, they're not going to ask you, do you want to join the military? They're going to tell you, you have to join the military. That's coming to America. We will have the draft. And that's what they did in Germany, of course. There was no choice. And so when they tell you go in, you go in. And they tell you got to do X, Y, and Z. I'm sure many of those German men did not want to do the work, the killing that was assigned to them, etc. They were following orders. That's what a majority of men do under these circumstances, and that's what I expect American servicemen to do. The majority will follow orders. And if the orders are to do round up these people, you know, and put them in these cattle cars, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. So I don't have any fantasies about the military saving the day. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I wish less brain dead than what they are, but there too, I know there are individuals in police departments around the country that recognize the New World Order's growing power, don't like it, don't want to be part of it, but frankly don't know what to do. In many cases, if they really rebel, they're not going to have a job. They're just going to can them if they really stand out as rebels. Even if they organize privately, they got to be real careful about it because So I don't expect the police to, save the day for us either. I just feel I'm more realistic about it. That's because the tradition has been these sort of takeovers of countries have happened repeatedly. It certainly happened in Europe and, you know, just 60 some odd years ago. When it happens here, most people will simply follow orders and they'll do what they're told to do. Because they'll be acting in their own self-interest, I'm sure. Many of the people in law enforcement or the military are under the impression that their families will be exempted from these concentration camps and so forth. I'm quite sure that at least the higher-ups, the brass, will assume that they have a ticket, and they probably do, to these underground bases. There's this whole world below ground that exists all over North America with these underground cities, and that these New World Order people, human and alien, who are pulling it off, that's where they're going to retreat when it gets bloody on the surface. Here, they're going to self-sufficient cities have free electricity. They have golf courses. They have shopping malls. They have food stored up the yin yang. They have artificial sunlight. They have everything they need to live an entire lifespan on underground. So they feel no concerns or no worries about surviving on the surface because they won't. They're being told that, well, you know, we're going to take care of you. You play ball with us, and we're going to take care of you. Now, that won't happen with a lot of those people. They'll just be told that, and once, if the New World Order thing goes down, and there are all these bloodbaths and killings and rounds up of people, and then revolts and rebellions, etc., those people told that you're going to be protected, they're not going to be protected at all. They're going to be betrayed, much in the way the German people and soldiers were betrayed, particularly towards the end. They're going to be the cabal, the highest members of the pyramid, who will arrange, like Martin Bormann and Mueller and the Nazis who escaped to South America, the ones who escaped to America under Operation Paperclip. The cabal people will take care of themselves, but the grunts, nah. The grunts never get taken care of. They're just too stupid to know history, too uninformed, and too lazy to find out what happens to grunts when you play ball with evil manipulators. They throw you to the wolves. That's always happened down through the centuries. It'll continue to work that way. So, American people need to wake up to the agenda. That's the first thing, because no one is going to save you except, guess who? You. Individuals, if they grow in number, can become and could become and should become a collective force that can stop the New World Order takeover. But first, they got to wake up. Once you wake up, the next thing you got to do is you immediately have to assume, I have to do something to first ensure survival of myself and my family, and then I've got to liaison with my neighbors and my friends or my internet blogging friends, etc., to come together into some sort of self-sustaining communities, because we have to do a lot all at the same time. I do not want to see a revolution in the country, as I mentioned to you before. The manipulators would love to see us go the revolutionary route. And I think it is a good idea for every state on the state level to declare to the federal government under the authority of the 10th Amendment that in the event the federal government intends to impose martial law, regardless of the pretext, whether it's for, you know, hurricanes, massive earthquakes, massive tornadoes, nuclear strikes, whatever they say it is, that the imposition of martial law breaks the nexus with, you know, any fidelity to the federal government. That we, at that moment, become a sovereign, state unto ourselves. And in that way, that is the only, let's say, revolutionary, statement I would make to the federal government, is that we know what you're up to. And also, it'd be nice if every state would pass a resolution essentially saying to the federal government, we're not buying the BS anymore. We know, you know, that the Congress, the military, et cetera, are working in cahoots with the New World Order fascists to destroy this republic and turn it into a fascist police state. We're not accepting any more lies about 9/11, pretext for this, for that. We want to stay together as a union, but you're on notice. You try false flags. You know, we know the Al-Qaeda routine. We're not buying it anymore. You go to martial law. We become an independent state. You try to enter our state. We're shooting back with your federal troops, with your New World Order UN troops, with your Partnership for Peace troops, with your hidden Russian troops, with your hidden UN Chinese troops, etc. We're shooting back. Our police will remain loyal to us. Our National Guard will remain loyal to our state, not to you. That, I think, is necessary. But beyond that, no. I am not in favor of any, you know, congressional let's scrap the whole thing and start again, which you read on the internet. People, they think it's a good idea. It's not a good idea. Because, as we mentioned last time, what comes out of that is the French Revolution.
We have. If I can interrupt here, and I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the news came out that somebody in Ohio, we're talking on a state level, wants to introduce a bill into the state house to begin oil exploration in state parks. Now, we have four times the largest oil reserve in Alaska alone,
right,
up at Prudhoe
correct.
Bay.
Right.
They have the Green River Find, which is shale oil, which has about 2 trillion barrels worth of oil. 2 trillion barrels of
yes,
oil.
I hear.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If we were counting dollar bills, it takes 37,100 years to count $1 trillion in dollar bills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're talking about 2 trillion. What is that? 54,200 years? Or,
yes.
I mean, just to count the barrels? We're talking barrels here now.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to go to parks? I mean,
yeah. Well, you saw, remember, at the yes, you saw the similar insanity towards the end of the Bush administration.
Yeah.
In the last, what was it, last year, I suppose, the administration, they wanted to, you know, use their contrived, you know, elevated gasoline price hoax in order to use that as a justification for offshore drilling along the coast. I'm sure you remember that. That probably is, I haven't, you know, you don't hear that mentioned at all. I don't know how much was approved at the time. I don't recall. Things were spinning fast. But what you're telling me now, to use state state parks for that, that's all smoke and mirror stuff, as you well know. We shouldn't be... Anyone who's bringing up something like that, you said, if we had real patriots in the legislature, I mean, why is it that only the people who listen to AM talk show radio or FM radio, or, you know, who are the Don, you know, Evan Footprint show or other radio shows that have had people, people like, what's in that, the minister who wrote the story about the, can't remember his name now. He wrote the story about the Gull Island, all the oil that's on the Gull Island, the one you're referring to.
Oh, Lindsay Williams.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I noticed, I noticed Jim Murray is also leaning on you to be his, feedback, encyclopedia as well. He couldn't think of a name of somebody.
Yeah, Lindsay's been on the show.
So anyway, now, so why is it that, you know, average citizens who just listen to radio shows know all about, well, at least a, you know, substantial portion of people at least know all about this excess oil that they're, it's capped, it's sitting up there on the Gull Island. Lindsay Williams has been talking about this for 25, 30 years.
35 years.
Right.
And he's back talking about it again.
He's back talking. He was intimidated for a while, and he backed off, but now he's back. He's back. Okay. So why is it we know about it, but no members of the House know about it? No senators
Or know the
it.
Mainstream media. Why don't
or
they?
Or the mainstream media. You know, it's amazing how informed we average schmucks are who just listen AM, FM, and internet radio are, compared to the leaders who have all kinds of access to military intelligence. And how is it we know all about these things and those folks don't know a damn thing? Isn't that strange? So
I'm just giving you another example of the hypocrisy. Well, then that's going to give these oil companies the option to come. You know, we had Standard Oil. John D. Rockefeller had that company right here in Ohio.
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
Yes, Standard Oil.
And they broke up the monopoly, didn't they? They
That's
broke
right.
up his monopoly in
right.
in 1966, actually.
Oh, you're talking about that? I thought I was talking about the earlier trust of breaking up. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, you know, that's one story. I heard something On the way to visiting my father in the hospital yesterday, I heard a news announcement. Now, this is interesting because I read a lot of news. I look at alternative media on the internet.
Right.
And WorldNet Daily was running an AM radio ad. This was really interesting. I'm going to sort of paraphrase it because it was about a minute ad, but they said it started out with the terrorist warning level is up to yellow. That means a terrorist strike could happen at any moment.
Yes.
Now, they're not identifying who they are yet, right? In such times, there could be severe power disruptions. And how are you going to find out what's going on? You need an emergency radio. Today, if you sign up for a subscription to WorldNet Daily, we'll give you a free emergency radio. And this is a quality radio. It picks up all the important, to get more propaganda? First of all, the commercial opened with propaganda and lies, and now they're telling you to subscribe to read the propaganda. So now they're going to help you get a radio, which is sort of like getting a high definition cable box,
right?
Okay, for your TV set.
Right.
They're going to give you the radio. They're going to tell you they'll be broadcasting what they want you to hear, and you think you're going to hear what's going on? You're not now. What, you mean you get that free radio, and all of a sudden you're going to start hearing the truth? Come on. Now, if there was ever any doubt in anybody's mind as to whether or not WorldNet Daily was part of the mainstream media posing as alternative media,
that
commercial was a dead giveaway.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that because I have had that opinion of, Joseph Fermage is associated with that. And Joe gets very upset when anyone says something in print that sort of alludes to the idea that he's, let's say, working with the other side. Boy, does he get incensed at that.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get attacked by terrorists. That was the message. So you better have this radio, and you better subscribe to their magazine so you can get the truth. Yeah, right.
Yes.
Come on. Oh.
Yeah.
And then,
anyway,
now that's on mainstream. So so this message is going to people that bought 9/11, that it was 19 box-cutting, toting cave dwellers that happened to take flying lessons long enough to fly a plane into a building. I mean, is that what they learned? Is that what they took lessons for?
Right. Right. The immaturity, the childish quality of the cover story is substantial in that you would expect an adult, at least an intelligent or serious adult, who looked at the facts soberly. No one in the right mind can believe the 9/11 cover story or any aspect of it. It was treason. It was internal sabotage. And I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I said it the very night it happened. I was emailing Jeff Rentz back and forth about the fact that the building came down as a controlled demolition. I said that's a controlled demolition fall. Buildings don't come down when they jet, that structure, that size, just because, a jet plane flew into it at the 110th floor, whatever it was. They just don't come down. You might have fire on those floors, but they just don't collapse. That's anyone who has, a child ability in construction logic knows that can't happen.
You had three buildings come down.
Of course.
One that didn't even get hit by an airplane.
Right.
So what was the reason for that?
Right. Just
give a reason for that. Forget about the other two buildings. Right. What causes a building to just fall down? Like
and
that.
I do remember in the weeks following 9/11, because of the comments I was making, I got some of the nastiest, angriest email I've ever got. Like, you're the most crazy son of a bitch I've ever read in my life. You ought to be taken out and shot for suggesting blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was, you know, and that's really
and that
your
was,
dumb,
that
dumbed
your,
down.
That's
you know,
Intel email. That comes
that
from
could
the intelligence.
You might well be. There's no way to know. But you might well be. Or it's, you know, it's typically brainwashed people. But it's so obvious, you know, if we're given the faculty of logic and analysis and intelligence by the Creator, we got to use them. We can't allow ourselves to be manipulated into a fantasy, into hypnotized into believing things that are illogical, that are Alice in Wonderland type logic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they want you to believe. And on a very primitive level, to boot, Alice in Wonderland logic about these events. So all staged events, such as 9/11, are just that. They're all acts of outside contractors, you know, the Mossad, our military people, our CIA, you know, all these black ops type people who are trained specially, who are all mind controlled for the most part, to do this type of work, and they'll never talk because when you're under mind control, you don't talk. It's internal. It's sabotage. It's internal subversion. The Madrid train bombing was a sabotage operation. Al Qaeda is a creation, as Webster Tarpley keeps on saying, it's a creation of the intelligence services. It's not a indigenous Arab group. It was formed, created, made to create the boogeyman, to give us the pretext to invade Afghanistan, invade Iraq, invade Pakistan, get the war going with India. These are all setups. And the American people, the entire American people, have to come to realize that we have traitors in charge of the government. And they're you know, the upper level. You got to remember that. Every time I say this, because there's always the boobs out there, well, my sister Agnes works for the state, you know, Board of Education, and she's certainly not. No, we know that. We know that low-level middlemen are just collecting checks. They're just collecting checks who are working for who aren't part of the minute. Who aren't? We got all that. Okay, we're talking about the upper level.
This is Agnes
charge.
You were talking about.
You know. You know,
oh,
what I'm
Aggie,
saying,
just, sweet Aggie, we're not.
Have to remind, you know, the knuckleheads out there, don't send me mail. No, I know it's not. You know, your cousin is a supervisor. You know, I got all that. Okay.
You're going to get a flood of email. Are you talking about my Aggie now?
No, I'm just. In the past, when I've written about it, you know, I would get, you know, and it's infuriating to get stupid mail from knuckleheads. I really don't want to hear it. I don't mind intelligent comments, but, you know, I have little patience with knuckleheads. Okay, so first, the whole country, you know, needs to be reminded daily that you're being sprayed with these chemtrails. They're trying to poison you. They're trying to eliminate your kids, etc., from the planet. These are traitors behind this. The government is staging one false event after another. We have an imposter who's not even a born American, who's posing as the president of the United States. He's a setup. He's a representative of this New World Order cabal. We have to know that all the people who he's appointed are dyed-in-the-wool Kabbalists, they're part of the group that is trying to dismantle and destroy America. They have a track record of doing that. Lawrence Sumner's, Paul Volcker, for God's sakes, these guys have already shown their colors, you know, in previous decades, yet they're bringing back the same criminal, treasonous individuals to, you know, to continue the play. To pay
the same
players. Okay, so the people have to first realize that, and then the next thing you got to do is you got to stop. What do I do? First, don't cooperate with the the agenda in whatever capacity you can, you know, offer resistance. Now, I'm not telling people to go out and get your head bloodied, you know, at one of these protests for the WTO and that sort of stuff. There's people who do that. They have tremendous courage. I admire them. Young people, vigorous people who, you know, want to, that's very helpful, but that's not the most intelligent way to do it. You got to do it craftily because you want to try to gain as much ground with your efforts as you can and not just, you know, not just make yourself a target to be clubbed to death, you know, just as a symbolic gesture. That's the most primitive way to do it. We can do this or try to do it craftily. So resist. I'll give you an example. Today I had to go to a place that I've been going to for 11, 12 years and you know, the greater Los Angeles area. I won't say where it is, but it's a precious metal dealer. And I went there to obtain some silver wire. I use a very pure grade of silver wire for different devices. And I've been buying it from this place for a long time. And when we went there today, had to use the bathroom. And they have a situation where there's like a front reception area in which when you buy your metal, like, you know, they pass it through plexiglass sort of, you know, windows and slots, and you pay your money there, that type of thing. But it's happened to me before because it's a long trip. Need to go to the bathroom. You just say, may I use your bathroom for a second? And in the past, so they open the door, let me go to the bathroom, you know, and I'm, you know, just takes 2 minutes, and I'm back out. I'm back in the lobby. Thanks very much. And okay, today, I tried to do that. Just say, do you mind if we use your bathroom for a second? Well, yeah, but, you know, we have new security procedures in place. You'll have to sign the form. I said, huh? And she said, yeah, well, beginning in March, you know, we have a new policy. So there's this thing printed out. It's, you know, it's the plexiglass.
Let me guess. It says, are you going number one or number two?
Well, it wasn't specific, but it did look.
Almost like
that,
huh?
Yeah. 15 or 16 points in which it's saying that for your protection and for your safety, we've instituted some new policies so that any time a person, a visitor, is allowed within the facility, you have to agree to a number of things. And what you have to agree to is first you have to agree to show your license or your passport, so they can record this information.
So you can use the bathroom? You need a bathroom?
Wait a minute. I got to tell you the whole story here.
Oh, my.
And so you have to present, you know, government-approved ID, which either means a driver's license or a passport or a government ID. You know, let's say you're a veteran or a military. That level of ID that would get you on a plane, okay, that's one. And number two is that you also will agree to have your person searched or any baggage or suitcase or anything you happen to have with you. You pre-agree that if, you know, to be searched, and that you agree that you will be in the custody of an employee of all times, and you will not, you know, leave sight of the employee without the employee's permission. In other words, everywhere you go, you have to have this escort, you know, with you at all times, and you agree that, you know, you're. So, there was maybe 15 different points that spelled out all the things that you're agreeing to do in order to be allowed into the facility. And then they hand you a form, they say, and then they sort of itemize all this. Well, I agree to blah, blah. I agree to show my ID. I agree to be escorted. I agree to not go anywhere without, you know, being escorted and have permission. And I agree, blah, 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 and sign your name and hand to that. So I took the form and I sat down. I said, okay, well, let me study this. And I sat down and I said, holy Jesus, I can't believe it. So I just folded it. I was put it in my valise and I wanted to take it with me because I wanted to, you know, write about it and put it up. So about 10 minutes later, the woman says, "Aren't you?" I says, "No, no." I'll just wait. I'll take care of it yesterday. I was trying to be polite, but she knew I wasn't. I was passing on this deal.
Excuse me, I don't have my certificate of live birth on me at the moment to use the bathroom.
So what she suspected is that she says, "Well, it, you know, if you don't have a driver's license, you know, a passport is okay." She was thinking maybe he didn't have a license, and I was afraid, you know. And I says, "No, it's okay. I'm fine." But I kept the paper, you know. But when I actually went to pick the wire up and pay for it, the first thing she said, "Do you have that form I gave?" I says, "Oh yeah, I did. I have it right here." She says, "Can I have it back, please?" So she took it back. So I think she suspected I wanted to take it. But what I'm going to do though is I'm not going to get very specific about this place, but I'm going to talk about this in writing. What I might do is I might contact those people. I know who the owners are. And I'm going to essentially let them know, hey, you want to play along with the New World Order, you want to buy into all this Homeland Security fascist crap just to use your bathroom, that's fine. I don't have to buy my precious metal from you. I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to do this too. I'm going to get on the phone, I'm going to start finding out, because as it is, I got to drive about an hour to get to this spot. Anyway, so I'm going to start, you know, L.A.'s a big city, I'm going to start looking around. And I find another precious metal. First thing I'm doing is get an idea of the prices, see if it's, you know, relatively same range as the guy I'm working with. And then I'm going to ask him. I says, "No, the reason I'm considering, you know, you folks is that I encountered this incident in which I wanted to use the bathroom, and I was told that I had to present, you know, ID, and I had to sign this form." I says, "If I asked to use your bathroom, would you ask me to do something similar? And I just want to see what they have to say." And if they say no, and I'll say, "Well, and do you have any anticipation of requiring your guests or your customers to go through these draconian security procedures in order to be allowed to use your bathroom?" And I'll see what they say. And if the answers are right, then I'm going to contact this other outfit, and I'm saying, "I'm so sorry to tell you, but, you know, I've found another outfit who does not require, does not ask me to present ID and to sign a form, just to, you know, and if you're hoping to get my business back, you need to reconsider this, because I might also expose you on my website as well. I don't know if I'll do that yet, because nothing to them, but..."
Yeah, they sound like they're already a lost cause anyway.
Well, they could be, but you never know. You know, they just started this. This thing was, like, dated March 19th, so this new policy, you know, is, you know, barely a week old. So I'm going to start the ball rolling. So I'm going to probably at least write them and express my indignation and my anger over them proposing such a thing and for them essentially going along with this New World Order Big Brother nonsense, and just see what they say back to me. Maybe it'll just be an exchange of letters and we'll let it go at that. Maybe at this point I won't threaten anything, even to lose my business. I'll just see how they respond to me. And
I think you should post it and send them the link and an email.
Well, I may get to that, but you know? I always believe in trying these things diplomatically first, because sometimes it you know, you put on your football helmet, people dig in just because you're butting heads with them. But if you try to convince them of the wisdom of your point of view, sometimes you win them over much sooner and you can avoid the fight entirely. So I'd rather try that first. So I'm just using this as one example of don't cooperate with tyranny when faced with the decision. And it's never easy. Now, the parent who is encountered with the school, who insists their child gets vaccinated, and yet now they read or they heard my website, other websites, that you don't have to get vaccinated. When you tell the people at the school, the principal, the school nurse, the teachers, they'll say, "Oh, no, the state requires," they're going to tell you it's a requirement. And I tell parents...
Isn't that practicing medicine without a license when the school tells you?
But they... Well, in 99.9% of the cases, the officials at school will tell the parent it's mandatory, it's required by the state, we have nothing to do with it, this is a state requirement, you must have these shots, otherwise we can't let you in, there's no choice about it. That's what you're told 99% of the time, parents are told. And what I tell parents is they do not know what they're talking about. What they're telling you is patently untrue. And you have to become the authority. You have to read the law. You have to get the form from every state has a state health department. You get the form from the state health department. You fill it in, and you become informed. And then you go march back to school, and you put on your courage uniform, politely but firmly inform the principal or the teacher or the school nurse, this is the law. Here it is. And by the way, I have this form for you to sign in which you have agreed to take on full responsibility if my child gets ill or develops any sort of reaction to the vaccine, now or at any time in his future years of his life. We have an entire form. It's, I don't know, maybe has 30 or 40 items on it, which is presented to people who tell you your kids must get vaccinated. It's on my vaccines page, but it's also linked to vaccinelive.org, which is, you know,
Ingrid Castle, yeah.
This is a wonderful form. Someone from her group put it together a couple years ago. And it's intended to turn the tables on these people. It's intended to, you bring this, if you have that doctor who's that dumb, who's telling you, well, you have to get these shots, you give him the form too. Who's ever insisting your kid's got to get the form, the shots, you give them this form, which is essentially they're taking all financial responsibility on their shoulders, and that if the kid's hospitalized, if he's damaged, nerve damage, if later, genetic, any sort of damages, that they are assuming full responsibility, and they will pay for the care and the maintenance. I mean, the thing is so frightening. By the time they get to the fifth or sixth item, they're shaking, and their hands are shaking. I can't sign this. That's exactly the reaction you want. You want to make it clear to them that you know the law, and you know that they don't know the law, and they're talking through their hat, and they're just giving you a lot of baloney that's been fed to them by the health department, who also are talking through their hat most of the time. They need and depend on an uninformed, dumbed-down citizenry. And you have to become an informed, fully aware of your rights, sovereign of this country.
They're the population. Then they're not the citizens. Citizens ties them to the corporation, which is what it is. What they're operating it like a business.
You got it.
And it has nothing to do with anyone serving the people, as it states in the Constitution.
Yes. Right. The whole country has been the government's city structure, state. Governments, federal governments, city governments, police departments, the post office, everything has become incorporated in this country.
Uh-huh.
So we're all being subjected to laws intended for commerce, the so-called Uniform Commercial Code. Most of us don't know it. And our sovereignty has been, we've been deceived into thinking that we're citizens of a corporation called the United States. And once you get a Social Security card, indeed, once you even get a birth certificate, you're unknowingly assumed to be part of this corporation. And you're now, when you go into court and they refer to you as a person and a legal entity and so forth, you're not the God-created creature that, your mother brought into the world anymore in the eyes of the corporate state. You're a representative of a corporation, but who's in the form of a person. So they sort of personified corporations. So they act like a person, but they really have the status of a corporation. And that's how we get into this whole area of a person of what is called a straw man in the legal system, that you're not representing a member of a family with a surname who has a Christian first name. No, no, you have a first and last name in all capital letters, which is this straw man. So they, when you're in a criminal trial, they call the straw man the defendant. And when in the court, the judge, who's a representative of this corporate maritime judicial structure, which is really intended to be a law that's supposed to take place at sea, that's why they call it an admiralty court, but all commerce, the dealings of money, are under this so-called admiralty system. So everything is commerce, don't you know, including criminal matters. Now, mm-hmm. So when the judge says, will the defendant please stand? Well, when you stand up there, you're telling the court, you're telling the judge, I'm representing that straw man. Go ahead, you know, sock it to me, slam me in jail, because I'm willing to be the straw man. Of course, we don't know this. This has been imposed on us by deception, but the outcome is still the same, whether you're aware of it or not. You're going to be, you know, treated as the straw man, as a vassal of the state.
Yeah. Well, Ken, we're out of time. We are going to be talking about that very topic tomorrow with Greg Pappas, who's going to be my guest on Evident Footprints.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that whole issue of not just the straw man, but the incorporated United States of America, mm-hmm. and whose interests are being served. Because this all ties in with what you and I talked about, but we've got to end the show right now.
Okay.
You're going to be on again in two nights. So
yeah, I'll pick up the thread, because what I wanted to get to was more aspects of behavior that to resist the New World Order and to, you know, become self-sustaining and to self-empower yourself. This is what we need to mm-hmm. talk about. So there wasn't enough time tonight. So I'll pick up the thread on the first.
Yeah, and I also want to leave some room in that show to talk about some recent discoveries that I've been making. I had the opportunity to view the film Dead Birds, which is a story of the Dani Lani tribe in Papua New Guinea and their ongoing battles back in 1961 with a tribe, a neighboring tribe. And these people have been portrayed to be headhunters,
yes.
And yet they grow vegetable gardens, fruit gardens, and actually it tells quite a different story. And it's an interesting fact or a factoid that goes along with this movie, which was produced and filmed by Robert Gardner from Harvard University. His sound man for the movie was none other than Michael C. Rockefeller.
Oh.
And
oh, yes. All right.
And this is quite mind-blowing, because they claim that he was eaten by these people, that they're headhunters, yet quite a different story. They were weaving, they were growing fruits and vegetables. They did have a battle, but it was sort of a spiritual standoff. It's a matter of them holding their honor and regaining their courage. They protect their land, they protect their people. And Mr. Rockefeller spent quite a bit of time in the very close proximity to capture the sound. And at times I would suggest that he was holding a microphone within a matter of feet from these people. I doubt that they were the people that were blamed as being the ones who killed him and ate him. Mm. It's the odds of that are greater than David Rockefeller not being a reptilian. Let's put it that way. And this is pretty interesting confirmation on something that I've brought up on a couple of other shows and a piece I'm working on related to Barack Obama.
Okay. Wonderful.
This is going to be rather mind-blowing. So
okay, good.
I would like to get into that, but we will continue this discussion because this is another example of the obfuscation of history, even of so-called primitive tribes. These people, to me, are far more awake than anybody in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yes. That's a wonderful topic. That we can do a few shows on that because the fact of the matter is, yes, there. Yeah, we'll get into it, though. We'll talk about it because the people who are close to nature are far more sensitive to all matters that have to do with what's really important in life, and that's how you treat each mm-hmm. other, and et cetera. And they're much more humane. People who are, you know, native people, as with rare exception, are far more humane, caring and kindly towards each other than, you know, urban people from, you know, first world countries.
Yeah. Well, we got to say goodnight. Okay. So I thank you for being on Evident Footprints tonight. Okay. And you're going to be on in two nights again. Actually, April 1st. Well, already we're at the apex of another month.
Right.
So, yeah. I thank you, and I want to thank the listening audience for tuning into Evident Footprints and encourage you to visit Ken Adachi's website, educate-yourself.org. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow evening when my special guest will be Greg Pappas. In the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.